So anyway, so tonight, what I'm going to be speaking on, and actually we kind of passed it. I'm a little late with this, but we've been on Pastor Cricket started a series, a hunting series. How many hunters do we have in the room tonight? How many hunters? All right. So the big day, the modern gun deer season started this past weekend. How many of you guys went out and wasted time on a deer stand? How many hunters do we have in here? Nicole's supposed to be writing names down because everybody that's a hunter, we want to make really good friends with so that we can get some deer meat. Because I love eating deer meat, but I don't have anywhere to hunt. So I haven't hunted in years. But, anyway, so yeah, we want to make sure we befriend all those who are hunters. Raise your hand one more time. Okay. So, Roger, you're getting several fingers pointed at you. So, but anyway. Well, I like hunting, but I just don't have the opportunity to do much hunting. But you may not know this about me, but I used to be an avid hunter. I know most of you look at me, you don't think hunter, you think athlete or model, things like that. But but the truth is, no, I used to hunt when I was younger. You know, we lived out in the middle of nowhere. People used to joke and say that our mail got delivered by coons. But anyway, so most of you don't know this about me, but I used to be, I was really big into coon hunting. Pastor Cricket and I grew up together. Do you remember that? Me being really big? You don't remember that? No? Well, thanks for your support. Anyway, but I was an avid coon hunter from my first coon hunt. It was around October 7th, 1988. And I was an avid coon hunter from that day until probably October 8th, 1988. It was probably at least 12 or so hours that I was really into coon hunting. So anyway, since we're on this hunting series, I'm going to start off with my coon hunting story. And I believe we will make some sense out of this and hopefully get some practical application to our lives. But anyway, my first experience coon hunting, man, I was so excited. You know, I had seen Where the Red Fern Grows. Have y'all seen that movie? I'd seen that movie. And so I knew all about coon hunting, man. I watched that movie. I was forced to watch it in school, and then I think I watched it at least two more times throughout school. But Where the Red Fern Grows, and so, man, I knew all about coon hunting. I knew how it was done, and I had envisioned that after this trip, the next day, we would probably, all of us that went would be wearing coonskin hats, man. It was just going to be an awesome night. And so we went. It was me and Mike Fell. Y'all know Crystal Abels. Or Crystal Fell, Brother Jerry's daughter, she does the Freedom Ministries. You know, her husband, Mike, he was there, his dad, my dad, I think my brother was there, and Mike's brother, and there were about seven of us, I think, all together. And it was my first time to go coon hunting, so I was so excited. And man, it started off really exciting. Man, we got out there, and the dogs, man, it didn't take no time. Man, they were on the trail. They were on the trail of something. And man, they took off, and so man, they across the creek, you know, through the woods, and we were trying to follow them back across the creek, you know, back across the creek again, and through the woods, and back across the creek again. And by the time that we realized that the dogs really weren't that great at coon hunting, we had crossed the creek so many times and gone in so many circles that none of us knew where we were. And even worse, none of us knew how to get back where we started. And so there we were in the middle of the night in a place that we didn't know where we were. It was dark. It was cold. And my love for coon hunting quickly went downhill. You know, then I was no longer excited about coon hunting. I just wanted to find my way home. I thought we were literally gonna die out there in the woods. And what I found out later was it was also the first coon hunt for those dogs. It was the first coon hunt for about six out of the seven people that were there. And even worse, it was the first time in those woods for anybody, any of us that were there. It was a totally unfamiliar place. Nobody knew anything about the area. They didn't know where we were. They didn't know how to get home. We were lost. Everybody say lost. Lost. Man, we were lost. We didn't find our way out quickly. But here's the thing I want to talk to you about. It's just as easy to get off track and get lost in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual journey, if we don't understand the land that God's called us to, and we don't understand what we're seeking after. Man, it's just as easy to get lost. And so, just to back up for a minute, first off, we got to know what we're hunting. First off, we have to be on a hunt to be able to find something, right? So the definition of hunt, just because I'm a nerd and I always look at the definitions. And the definition of hunt, it says to chase or search for something, to pursue with force, to search for, to seek, to endeavor to obtain or find, to search a place thoroughly, to scour an area in pursuit of something, to hunt. And so tonight, on this hunting series, we're talking about hunting, hunting after the Lord, seeking after God, hunting for Him. And so based on that definition of hunt, how many of you would say that you are in a hunt for God and for the life that God's had for you? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Okay. I don't want those that don't raise their hand to be embarrassed. But anyway, but that's what it means to hunt. So first off, here's the thing we have to do. We have to make a decision that we're going to pursue God. That we're going to seek after Him. That we're going to scour, you know, to find or obtain what God has for us. We have to decide to be on a hunt. It's a choice. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 and 16 says, "See, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you go to possess." He says, He sets before us a choice today. It's a daily choice. Choose life or to choose death. We have to make the choice. We have to decide that we're going to hunt after Him, that we're going to seek Him. And so just tonight, I'm just going to go out on a limb. And I'm going to assume that those of you that are here, that you've made a choice to seek God, that you've made the choice of life to pursue God, to pursue His, the life that He has for you. Amen. So I'm just going to make that assumption. You're here, that you're seeking. And so that's where we're going to start talking tonight. We're talking about your spiritual journey. Once you've made the choice to follow Jesus, once you've decided and purposed in your heart that you're going to seek after Him, that you're going to find Him, that you're going to live your life for Him, we're going to talk about that journey tonight. We're going to talk about your spiritual experience. And I don't want any of you, I don't want your spiritual experience to be anything like my coon hunting experience. Okay? I don't want you to wander around in darkness, miserable, not knowing where to go, not knowing what to look for, not having any direction or sense of purpose in your life. I don't want that to be your spiritual experience. And I don't think any of you want that to be like that either. I don't want it to be like my coon hunting experience or any of my hunting experiences for that matter. Because most of my hunting stories are stories that would sound like Don Knotts should be the one acting them out. And, so I've got some really, really bad or stupid hunting experiences I can tell you about, but I don't want to bore you too much of those. So we're talking about your spiritual journey. Now on a broad level, a high level, in general, you know, we can talk about, when we're talking about the land that God's called us to, we can start off talking about just living for God in general. You know, if you're pursuing a relationship with God, if you have a desire to live for Him, to follow Him, then there's just some things that you have to do. And there's some things that you don't do. There's some places you don't go, right? And so when you make that choice, when you make that choice to follow Him, pursue Him, that narrows down some things in your life. Just like in marriage, you know, if you are married and you want to have a healthy relationship with your spouse, there's just some things that you just don't do, right? Some things you don't do. Like, you don't forget your anniversary. You don't forget her birthday. Okay? And the answer is always yes when she asks you if she looks good in the outfit. All right? The answer is always no when she asks if the outfit makes her look fat. Okay? There's just some things you don't do. You never assume you're right, men. You never assume you're right. And if you know you are, you just never assume that. And you always act surprised if in the event that she comes back later and says that you were right. Okay? So there's some things that you just don't do. I'm just joking about the last one Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. You better keep the rest of them too. But anyway, there's just some things you don't do, and those are just some humorous things. But you know, when you're in a relationship, there's some things that you do or don't do to make sure that relationship stays intact and stays healthy. And it's the same thing with our relationship with God. There's just some things that we have to have in place if we're going to follow Him. And there's some things that we have to say, hey, I'm not going to go there because it's going to threaten or harm our relationship with God. And so you have to know and understand a little bit about the land that God's called you to. Now, God doesn't leave this up to us to figure out on our own. How many of you guys are thankful that God has given us His Word? God has given us the precious gift of the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. God has placed us in a local church, in a body of people that will encourage us to go the right way. Amen. He doesn't leave it up to us to figure that out alone, but He's given us the tools to figure out and to find out what we're supposed to be going after and what we're not supposed to be going after. All right? So His Word, the Holy Spirit, all those things will help us, teach us. The Bible is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And as we study God's Word, as we develop a relationship with God, He begins to illuminate His nature and His character. And the way that He does things and the way He thinks, and by building that knowledge and that relationship with God, we begin our path or the land that God's called us into begins to take shape. And so it's important that we study His Word. It's important that we know God and that we begin to grow close to God. You know, it's not just something we show up on Sunday and Wednesday night, for those of you few. Y'all give yourselves a hand clap. So on Wednesday night, we don't just show up and do church and go home. It's a lifestyle. It's a relationship. God wants a living, thriving relationship with you that we have to maintain, that we have to nurture. Amen? And so as we do that, God begins to show us the land that He's called us to. And it's not just on a general level like that. There is a way and a life that God's called all believers to. But tonight I want to talk to you more about it. Not only has God called believers in general to the land He's prepared, but He's called each one of us to a life. God has a specific purpose, a specific call, and a specific plan for each one of us individually. How many of you in here are individuals? Say me. Well, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. And it's not just... here's what Proverbs 19:21 says. It says, there are many plans in a man's heart. How many of you guys have an idea or just a kind of the way you see things, the way you see yourself, you know, in 5 years or 10 years? How many of you guys have an idea of things that you want to do and the things that you like to do? Amen? Yet? Y'all have a will, y'all have desires. But here's what the Bible says. It says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that's what will stand. That's what will stand. And each one of us have to find out what God's specific plan for our life is. It's so important that we find out God's heart for us and what God's plan is for us. I preached a message a long time ago. Called White Cane Christians. And I remember I preached this message in Camden, and it's kind of a funny story. It was called White Cane Christians, and I'll tell you in a minute. But I got ready to go up. They were doing praise and worship, and I came in, I sat down in the front row, but Pastor Jerry got up first, and he said, hey, I just want to acknowledge a special lady that's here tonight. And I looked over to the right, and sitting right on the front row is a lady with dark glasses on, and she's got a white cane sitting beside her. She was blind, and Brother Jerry said, I just want to acknowledge her. And she came up, told the story about how she was blind. So there's my title, White Cane Christians, and there's a blind person there with a white cane. So I had to change my title, you know, real quick before I got up there so it wouldn't be offensive. And so, man, I'm writing my notes, scratching it out and everything, and then I've got the slides on the screen that I had made, and so I didn't have time to change those. I was like, well, you know what? She's not going to see him anyway. So anyway, I went on. But anyway, so it was a challenging moment there. But the message of that, no, that was right. I know somebody's like, I know he didn't. But yeah, he did. Sorry. Anyway, but it's true. You know, I had to address the issues that had impact. Anyway, so, but this White Canyon Christian, this message, the gist of that message was that God doesn't want our Christian life to be one of just wandering aimlessly. Letting whatever happens, happens, you know. I mean, a lot of times that's how we face life. We just kind of go through, you know, and we survive. And we take whatever happens. But the thing of that, and that's really kind of the heart, part of what I want to show you tonight, too. It's not a life that we just let whatever happens happen. The life that God has planned for us, everybody say planned. The life God has planned for us is not one of happenstance. You know what? It says, but I believe that God has strategically placed you. He's provided for you. He's equipped you. He's empowered you and he's sent you. Amen. How many of y'all believe that about yourself? God has strategically. Now, whether or not we thought of it this way or not, God has. God has strategically placed you where you're at. God has strategically given you gifts and talents and provision to do what he's called you to do. He's equipped us. He's empowered you. I tell you what, there's no calling. I believe every calling for God is a calling that requires power outside of your own strength. Amen? But whatever your calling is, whatever the plan is for God, he has empowered you to do his will. And he sent you. He has sent you. We are his ambassadors. He has sent you. Nobody else. He hasn't sent your neighbor to do what he's called you to do, but he has sent you. And that was the gist of that message. And that's what I really feel the Lord speaking tonight through this too, is that you have a unique calling and a purpose for your life. And we've got to begin to see ourselves not just as another number or another Christian or another person that goes to church, but to see ourselves as people that are sent out by God to do something for the kingdom. Amen? There are people that you will touch that nobody else will touch. There are people that you will have opportunity to speak into their life that nobody else will have an opportunity to speak into. And God has sent you. And God is counting on you. Amen? And we need to begin to see ourselves as an important, integral part of God's plan. We need to see ourselves as people with destiny. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Once we understand that God has a purpose, then, and only then, will the Holy Spirit begin to impart vision into your life. Vision to move toward that purpose. We now know what to live for. We now know what to look for. We know now what to pursue. You know, I used to hunt. I started deer hunting when I was young. As soon as I was old enough to, my parents were comfortable with me having a gun by myself, which was just last year, really. But now, I started hunting. And so I'll go out and hunt. And, you know, the thing about me hunting, I know, most of you don't know this, but the animals in the wild, they fear me. Okay. I'm just this great hunter that they all fear and they all scurry and hide when I come out. And that was the best excuse I could come up with always coming home empty handed. It wasn't the fact that I couldn't sit still and that I was anxious, nothing like that. It wasn't anything like that. It was just that I was so feared by the animals. Anyway, but I used to go out and hunt and I would sit and I would waste, you know, half a day in the morning and go back and waste the other half in the evening and not come home empty handed. And I'll never forget. My grandpa, he's unlike me, he's a skilled hunter. He came and visited us one weekend. And I'd been hunting 2 or 3 years and all that season so far, and I'd gotten anything. So he comes and he goes out the day before and he kind of walks around things, comes back, and the next morning he goes out and he kills 2 deer that morning at the same time. I mean, just, you know, one after the other, they came out. And he said he tried to shoot it, was going to shoot it a third one, but he didn't get a shot off in time. And so I'm just amazed. I'm like, where'd you find them? What'd you do? Anyway, so later on that day, he took me out to another place where I had a stand and we started walking around the woods and he started showing me things. He knew what to look for. He found that just 50 yards from my stand through the woods, there was a scrape. How many deer hunters, you know what a scrape is? That's where all that, that's where the activity is right there. That's like the club, you know, for the deer. Anyway, lots of stuff going on. Well, in the opposite direction, about 50 yards, that's where my lane was. That's where I put out corn and I fed all the crows and the squirrels. But just 50 yards the other way, to a trained eye, to somebody who knew what to look for, man, it was the hub. You know, that's where the buck hung out, you know. And so after he showed me that, just shortly after that, I killed my first buck. It was a big 8-point. I know Pastor Cricket had the deer up here back when we were started the hunting series. And I offered to bring mine, but he felt like it was too large. And so so we left it at home. But anyway, but man, I killed my first deer. And I tell you what, knowing what to look for, hunting the hot spots. I'll never forget my father-in-law. He fishes. Don't tell him I said this, baby. Okay. Anyway, so he fishes. They live not too far from Lake De Grey. And man, they fish. I used to go up there almost every weekend and fish with him. And he had some hot spots that he knew to go to. You know, so if we weren't catching fish anywhere else, he had a couple of spots that we'd go to that were the hot spots. But one day he was watching this guy fish, and he was just kind of out in the middle, but he kept drifting and staying in this one area. And so eventually he went over and talked to him after he looked like he was fishing to go. And the guy had the map of Lake De Grey out there. Well, I'd seen those maps before, and he had seen those maps plenty of times. Well, all over that map, there's these little dots with GPS coordinates. And he found out that day, after probably 15 years of fishing Lake De Grey, that all those little dots were coordinates where the Corps of Engineers had sunk treetops and things like that, that were hot spots for catching fish. And I tell you what, once he figured that out, and he could look at that map and know where to go, where there were structure underneath, where there was a place where things happened underneath, man, that changed his fishing life. And so after 15 years of fishing that lake and finding a couple on his own, he found out there was a map where they were already all laid out and helped for us. And you know what? Here's the thing. So many times in our life, we walk around, we search, we're empty, but God has already prepared things for us that will sustain us, that will strengthen us, that will encourage us, that will help us in our walk with Him. Amen? God has provided those things. We just got to know where to look. We just got to know where to find them. And God will direct us and show us where those things are at. Everybody, I know there's got to be at least one thing that really speaks to you, that really stirs you up. You know, that one thing, I don't know whether it's preaching the word or whether it's just studying the word or maybe it's a certain quiet time in prayer. There's something I believe that everybody has that just really builds you up, that really stirs you up, that strengthens you. You know, for me, a lot of times it's my drive in the car. You know, I have a 35-minute drive to and from work. And then I used to drive a lot longer than that, but I just got to where in the car, man, just putting on some praise and worship music and praying and spending time there, man, that was my time. That was a time and I would leave and I'd get where I'm going. And man, I was just charged up when I got there, you know, but I know there's something for everybody. There's somewhere and in some place where God speaks and where God meets with you. And if you hadn't found that yet, you need to find that place. Because everyone, God has provided for everyone a door, a place where you can come and be strengthened, where you can come and be ministered to, where God builds that relationship with you. Man, those are the hot spots. And so we need to look for the hot spots. We need to hunt the hot spots. Amen? Amen? So I want to encourage you, seek that out. Find out what is the hot spot for you. And make sure that you visit there regularly. Amen. So finding your purpose helps you to know where to look. And it also enables you to gain vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, our New King James Version says, no revelation, the people perish, but happy is he who keeps the law. Without vision, we die. Without vision, we perish. But I believe that God wants tonight, God wants you to have vision. God doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to be unfruitful, but God wants to make you alive. God wants to make you productive. God wants you to have an active, engaged relationship with Him. Amen? God has a plan for your life. He wants you to pursue that plan for your life. Psalms 37:23 says, "The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way." The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Specific plan, specific purpose and destiny for your life. Amen? Say, God has a plan for me. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and Miles McPherson was the one speaking. How many of y'all remember Miles McPherson? He was an NFL player. He played for the Chargers, I think, for 4 years. And but anyway, former NFL player. And but he was talking about the workout and kind of how the week goes for NFL players and how what they do each day. And what he talked about, he said that on Saturday, now usually they'll have film day after the game, then they'll have practice 3 days, and then usually on Saturday, he said Saturday was usually always the walkthrough day. Now walkthrough day, how many of you are familiar with the walkthrough? And he explained it like this, and I'm going to share it like he did. He said the walkthrough is just like what it says. It's a walkthrough. He said, well, they go over their scheme, the plans, the plays, and things that they believe their game plan for the day, and they walk through the motions just to get used to it, get it in their head. It's a mental preparation, walk through the motions. But he said, there's always that one guy on the team, that doesn't want to walk through, that refuses to walk through, and is always aggressive and excited. And he said he always had that one guy on his team that showed up. It was a walkthrough. They didn't have to tape up ankles, nothing like that. He said, but there was always this one guy that would show up taped up, helmet on, and he would, you know, he said he just would not walk through. He was excited and pumped up. And he said he was sharing this with the Dallas Cowboys just recently. And he said when he shared that part, they all started looking at Sean Lee. I don't know how many Cowboys fans we got, but Sean Lee, one of their defensive players, he said they all started looking at him and said, he's the guy on that team that will not walk through. But anyway, what he said was this. He said that the thing is, in our Christian walk, sometimes that's what we end up doing. We end up walking through, going through the motions without the excitement, without the passion, without the fervor for God, without the fire of God in our heart. Too many Christians walk through the motions. And I have to tell you, when he started talking about that, you know what? I didn't want to, but I had to. I had to identify with what he's saying, because I immediately began to think, have I had the passion to pursue God's purposes for my life? What? And the question he said, what have you been so excited about that you cannot walk through? That you just have to be excited, that you're always pumped up and you're always passionate about? What in your Christian life are you passionate about to that point where when somebody tells you to slow down and just walk through the motions, you can't? And when he shared that, I was convicted. I was like, you know what, God, I don't always live with that kind of passion. I don't always live with that kind of fervor. But I'm gonna tell you what, God is worth every ounce of passion and energy that I have. Amen. God has paid the price, and He's worth every bit of energy that I can muster up. And the Lord just began to deal with me about pursuing Him in a more passionate, more real way, in a way that says, God, I want all that you have. All that you have for me. I want it. I want to find it. I want to know you above anything else. I want to know your heart. I want to know your character. I want to live like you've called me to live. And I need to do that with passion. We need to do that with passion. Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says, "But His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back and I could not." It's so important that we hear God's voice concerning our destiny, that we hear God's voice concerning our purpose, concerning His plan for our life. What does He want us to do? What is our commission? What is your commission? Because I'm going to tell you what, when we get to the end of this life, which is temporary, which is like a vapor, which is like a flower that grows and it withers and it dies, when we get to eternity, we're not going to be judged. We're going to be judged on what we did with this life. And I want to, when I meet God in heaven, and when I meet Him, I want God to look at me and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want Him to say, "That which I gave you, you completed it. You worked hard. You fought the good fight." Amen? Don't you want to say that? And I believe God's just calling us to a place tonight where we want, where, to get us excited and passionate about finding out what it is that He's called us to do. And maybe that's not the same thing through your whole life. Maybe every day we just need to get up, start there and say, "God, what do you want me to do today? God, is there something that you purpose for me today?" And I tell you what, as we begin to pursue God's plan and seek God's plan, see, God doesn't want us just to stumble around. God is happy for us to ask, "Hey, God, what is it that you want me to do?" He loves it when we come to Him and ask that, because He wants to see us succeed. He wants to see us be fulfilled. And I tell you what, there's nothing that will fulfill us in this world. The only thing that will fulfill us is doing the will of the Father. I want to have the heart that Jesus had. When His disciples came back and they had gone and got food, and when they came back, He said, "Doing the will of the Father is me to me." I want to get to that point where nothing fulfills me like doing what God's called me to do. Where nothing fulfills me more than obeying His word. And His word specifically to me too. His word, the Bible, and His spoken word to you. Because I believe that God has an individual word for each one of us. I believe that God desires us to meet with Him in that secret place. And as we do, the Holy Spirit will give us desires. The Holy Spirit will give us passion. The Holy Spirit will put things on our heart that we will yearn for and be burdened for. That's God's purpose for you. Your individual purpose. And so, if you're like me, when I heard that, man, you know, immediately, what the enemy tries to do is distort God's view of you. If you're like me and you're like, "Man, I just haven't been living that passionate," I felt like, man, I've failed God. And immediately I've been, you know, and I've struggled. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've struggled recently. I've just been felt like God is frustrated with me sometimes. But I tell you what, I just thank God, how many of y'all listen to Robert Morris? You guys listen to some? I get his podcast, his stream, and he's been on a series about the prodigal son. And one of the things he said that really struck me, and I just really felt like I should share this tonight, because maybe you're in the same place as me. You feel like, man, you don't measure up. And that maybe God's frustrated with you. Man, I'm not a newborn Christian. I've been in this thing for a long time. You know, and sometimes I just have to look at myself and say, you know, I've been in this long enough. I shouldn't be struggling with some of these things, or God shouldn't be having to constantly push me back on track. But that's just the nature of it. But here's the thing. I just began feeling like God was frustrated with me. And I just love what Robert Morris brought out in the story of the prodigal son. You know, and I want to pass this on to you tonight. You know, this message tonight, really, I want it to be an encouragement and a motivation that if you lack that fervor, if you lack that passion, to begin to stir yourself up and encourage us to move to the place where God's called us to. But if you haven't been there, if you're not there, know this, that God is not frustrated with you. And in the story of the prodigal son, when the son had his own plans. You know, we read that scripture, there are many plans in a man's heart. He had his own plans. He had his own ideas of what he wanted to do with his life. And he found out fairly quickly that those plans were not successful. Those plans were no good. And in that story, he wanted to go back home and he said, "You know, even the servants in my father's house, they live better than I'm living now." After he had squandered everything, after he had wasted everything. And so he wanted to go back and just be a servant in his father's house. I'm sure he felt like when he showed up, the father would be frustrated with him. And maybe he would hire him on as a servant. But that's not God's heart. And I love in this story, and then you'll read it. If you read the parable of that, you'll see. But in this story, when the son went away, getting mixed up in foolishness and leaving the land the household of the father. The father didn't get mad and he wasn't frustrated and angry. But while his son was away, he stood out every day watching, waiting for his return. And the Bible says that when his son showed up back at the house, it said his father was right there. I imagine doing what he did every day, looking to see if his son was come back. And he saw him coming. He didn't say, well, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell him what I did wrong. No, he ran to him and embraced him. And I'll tell you what, if you're away from where you feel like God's called you to, or you're not pursuing your destiny as passionately as you feel like God's called you to, I want you to know tonight that God is not frustrated with you, but he is waiting anxiously for you to come back. And when you come back, God will meet you with open arms. God loves you and he cares for you and he wants you to be part of his household, no matter how far you've gone from it. Amen. I want you to know tonight, God is not frustrated with us. God doesn't get frustrated. God doesn't get angry or upset, but God already knew what was going to happen before it ever happened. Nothing has surprised him. And God's decision has been and always will be that he loves you. And he is there full of love, full of forgiveness, full of acceptance, ready to take you back in, put a robe on your back, and throw a party at your home. Amen? Praise God. So God is not frustrated. God is not angry. But he wants you. Because he wants you, no matter how many times you've gotten off course. God's desire is always to get you back on track because he wants you to fulfill everything he has planned for your life. Every ministry, every person you're supposed to touch, every heart you're supposed to encourage, God still wants that for you. God still has the gifts and talents that he's given you. The Bible says that the gifts and talents that God gives are given without repentance. Some of you may feel like you've wasted them, that you've done things and you no longer have the calling of God. I'm going to tell you what. God's just waiting for you to run back to him. God's just waiting to embrace you and bring you back into the household and put you back in the place that he's called you to be. And that place is a place of a sonship or daughtership because God has adopted you. God has given you his name. He's given you his authority. He's given you everything that he has. And he wants you to walk in it. He wants you to walk in it. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you first off, God, that you saw fit, Lord God, to you loved us enough, Lord God, to give your only son for our lives, God. You loved us enough, God. You wanted relationship and fellowship with us, God, so much, God, that you sacrificed, you gave your only begotten son. Lord God, there is no love that we can understand that matches your love. God, I thank you for loving us. Lord, I thank you for caring for us. God, I thank you, God, for your mercies that are new every day, Lord God. I thank you for your forgiveness, Lord God, that we have access to. And Father God, I just pray, Lord God, that you would birth vision in our hearts, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would put the fire of God in our hearts, God, to serve you, to live for you, to long for you, God, to accomplish everything that you've put us on this earth to accomplish. Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts, God. I pray that tonight, Lord God, would be a turning point in our hearts, Lord God, where we say, I'm no longer going to aimlessly walk through this life, but God, I want to pursue everything that you have for me. Lord, I pray that you would just ignite that fire tonight, Lord God, and that we'd not grow dim in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, cause our lights to burn bright for you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.